Welcome to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey, the place for coaches, healers, consultants, and other service-based folks so you can learn how to build a sustainable, meaningful business without having to resort to the dark arts or sleazy marketing techniques. Hi, this is Jo Casey. Welcome to the Meaningful Business Podcast. This is part one of a two-part episode because today I want to talk about marketing and how exhausting and time-consuming it can be, and how for a lot of us our relationship with marketing is so disconnected to the relationship that we have with our profession, with our work, with our actual business, our craft, our art, our practice. And so it can cause this real tension, because if we are open-hearted and we are doing our work in the world as a healer or a coach or any other heart-centered, heart-based entrepreneur, then it can seem really at odds with what we do to then go online and look at some of the marketing stuff that's out there, which is telling us to, you know, hustle hard and make wild promises and to do any number of a million things. Sorry, there's my dog in the background. Just to get our businesses known. And I've had numerous conversations with people who will say, but if I do all of these things, when would I ever have time to do my actual work, to do the thing that I've trained to do? I get asked, how much time do you need to spend marketing compared to how much you do actually doing your work? And the answer is, well, as much until you don't need to. But I think there is something about being focused, coming at it from the right the right place, the right heart space, if you like, the right intentions, and to find aligned marketing activities that are going to raise your profile and allow potential customers to know that you're there. Because that's all that marketing is at the end of the day. It's around letting people know who you help and how you can help them. And so we can overcomplicate it so much if we're not careful. And believe me, there's a lot of people making money out of selling marketing systems and things like that, that will tell you you have to throw lots and lots of money at it and lots of hours. And, you know, to a certain extent, you can't get away from marketing. But what you can do is make sure that your marketing is aligned and is getting you as much bang for your buck as you can get. So I've put together 31, so a whole month's worth of, I've called them meaningful marketing actions that are relatively simple to do. Most will take you less than 30 minutes to do, that maximize your reach, but also are rooted in the kind of principles that we talk about when we talk about having a meaningful business: connection, community, human to human relationships. They're not shouty, they're not gimmicky, and they're not manipulative. So I've put together 31 of these. Now, that would be a long episode, I know, because I tried recording it all in one. It was a really long episode. So what I've done is I've split this into two parts. So this is part one, and later in the week there will be part two. However, if you want a hard copy of all 31 of these actions, or you want all of them in one go, then if you go to meaningfulbizacademy.com, you will see a box there at the bottom of the homepage, and it will come up as a pop-up as well at some point, which invites you to put in your email address, and you'll be able to download all 31 of them straight away. So you can make notes on it, you can tick off which ones you fancy doing, you can read through them at your leisure and get a bit more detail from there. So that's meaningfulbizacademy.com academy.com. Put in your email address. But here we are with part one of 31 meaningful marketing activities. Enjoy. One, write a love letter to your perfect client, telling them the one thing that you just know they need to hear. I am a big proponent of this love letter approach because so much of the marketing that we're kind of taught out there is about trying to be clever or trying to be slick or trying to find the most fancy or persuasive way of saying something, and it can be the energy of it can just feel so off. So I love this approach of approaching it like you're writing to somebody that you adore. So imagine writing to your ideal client, whether it be a full letter. That can be a great exercise to do. You don't necessarily send the letter, we use that as our kind of marketing core materials, if you like. But writing all your copy with that client in mind, as if they are reading it, as if it were a love letter, or, you know, I just say you're brilliant letter, if the word love is a bit too far up your emotional register for something like this, then you're always going to get the tone of it right. You're always going to have that emotion coming through. It's just going to happen naturally. So write a letter. It doesn't have to be a long one. Write a short letter to your client, just telling them this one thing you know that they need to hear. And then turn it into a blog post, or turn it into a video, or turn it into an audio even. Share it on your blog, share it on YouTube, share it on social media. If you write if you create all of your marketing materials coming at it from that place, you will not go wrong, I promise you. Number two, go through your past blog posts. If you've been marketing for a little while, go through your past content. Choose three paragraphs that work great as standalone pieces. So just a paragraph, we're not even talking, a whole blog post or anything like that. Just a paragraph. Choose three paragraphs that are going to work great as standalone. You can pull them out and you could put them on an image, or you could share them on social media. You can post them on your Facebook wall or on Twitter, or turn them into an Instagram story. Paragraphs, statements, things that work as standalone, again, just kind of punchy, this is what I want you to know type pieces of content. Number three, connect with one person today and tell them about what you can do. That's it, just one person. If you can do this every day, tell them about what it is that you do, then you are absolutely golden. An awful lot of marketing is really, really overcomplicated. But if you can consciously make a note to talk to somebody at a networking event, or send an email to somebody you've not spoken to for a while, or connect with somebody on Facebook, just have conversations with people, get into the habit of telling people what it is that you do and who you help. They become your referral network. Like I say, if you do that every day, you are absolutely golden. You get masses of bonus points, and you will get a hell of a lot more clients than most people out there. Number four, think about, this is like a bit of a writing exercise, a content exercise. Get out a notepad and pen and think about, what's the one piece of advice you could give a total beginner within your area of expertise? So say if you work with people who are wanting to give up dieting and still be healthy, what's the one piece of advice you would give to somebody who's hit that point of, I know I want to do this, but I don't even know where to start? If you are a healer, what is the one piece of advice that somebody who is struggling with a particular condition, what is the one piece of advice that you would give them? And then write a short piece of content around it. Write a blog post, do a YouTube video, do an Instagram story. This is a great habit to get into, to be really thinking about, what are the common things that my clients ask me? What are the common subjects that they struggle with? What are the common questions that they have? And the more that you can be marketing and producing content that helps to address those issues and show that you understand them, the more engaging that's going to be and the more relevant it's going to be to your ideal clients. Number five, add your website on your Facebook profile, your personal profile. Now, this is something that is so easy to overlook, but think about it. You've met somebody when you've been out and about, maybe you're walking the dog and you're at a networking event or something like that, and you tell them the name of your business, you tell them what it is that you do. And so what's the first thing that they're going to do when they get back home is they're going to Google you. And Facebook is one of the most popular results that will come up in a Google search. But the problem is your personal profile may well come up, but your business details won't. And so have you ever had this thing where you're looking through somebody's personal profile and go, yeah, but where do they work? They told me about this amazing service that they had. They told me about this business and I can't see any details of finding it. And so yeah, you give up. So what you can do is if you go to your Facebook profile, tap on edit profile at the top of the screen. In under your bio or under intro, you can add the URL, the www dot of your website in there and tap done. And that means anybody who goes to your personal profile on Facebook will easily be able to find your website details and your business details. Number six, follow up with a past client. Check on how they're doing. See if there's anything that you can help them with next. There's an old saying in marketing that it's a lot easier to keep a customer than it is to win a new one. So your past customers and your existing customers, if you can find ways of being able to continue to serve them, whether that be producing new services for them, new products for them, then that will be a hell of a lot easier and take a lot less time than finding brand new customers. Following up with your clients reminds them that you are there. It reminds them of all the great work that you did together. It also gives them a great opportunity to do a bit of reflection, to do a bit of that longer term checking in. All right, how have things been since I stopped working with such and such? Are there new challenges that have come up? How am I doing with the things that we worked on? You know, it can be a great way of helping to esteem your client and giving them that longer term view and pointing out how much progress they've made and help them to do that reflection themselves. But it can also highlight new areas of growth where they may need assistance. So it's absolutely a win-win. You're doing something that can be really useful for your past client, and it may well lead to new business. You know, bonus points if you suggest maybe that you just hop on the phone, just have a quick check-in. Would you like to have a 10-minute tune-up and see, you know, if we can just help maintain that growth that you've had, or whether we can see if there's any other ways that we can make it even better. Number seven. Make a list of the most common questions that you get asked about your service or your area of expertise. And then write a short blog post or create a piece of content answering one of them. So if you make a list of, say, six common questions that you have and you write a blog post or produce a piece of content on each one of those six, you have six new pieces of content. And again, it's not like you're having to reinvent the wheel. It's stuff that you answer on a regular basis anyway, so it's front of mind expertise that you have. You know that it's going to be applicable to potential clients because you know these are the questions that you get asked, and so you can provide some of the answers. Now, sometimes people worry that, well, if I provide the answer in a piece of content, then why would people hire me? Well, people aren't short of knowledge. Generally, what they're short of is that being able to take action on that knowledge. Sometimes that piece of knowledge, that piece of information that you can provide them is merely the gateway. It's like the key that unlocks the next door in their journey. So usually I mean, we're talking about a blog post. We're not talking about lay out your unique 17-point system and you know, throw it all at them. It's maybe about laying out the roadmap, giving them some tips about, you know, here are some of the things that you would need to think about if you are wanting to address this type of an issue. Or here are some of the things that I work with on a client who comes to me with this type of issue. Or here are some very first steps that you can take if you are wanting to address this type of issue. So rather than it being a question of, well, why would anybody hire me? It's never going to be as simple as you can solve somebody's problem in a 10-minute conversation, which is kind of the equivalent of what a blog post or a short piece of content would be. And if you can do it, then, you know, that it's probably not the type of thing that would be appropriate to be charging somebody for. I mean, unless you do kind of 10-minute interventions, in which case I need to see your business model and I want to know more about it. So usually it's just giving people a taster, a little bit of help, a nudge in the right direction. And most of the time that will open up the realization that they may well need some additional help and support with this, that this is doable, there is hope, but they're going to need some support and some assistance and some specialist help. And obviously that specialist help is right there and available from you. And you could say at the end of your piece of content, look, obviously this is only giving you a high level overview. If this is something you really want to dive into, here is a link to have a chat with me. Simple. Number 8, make a video answering one of your commonly asked questions, or make a series of videos answering your most commonly asked questions. Don't be afraid of reusing content. In fact, I would say reuse your content as much as you can, because for a number of reasons, you want people to kind of get the message. People very often will need to see or hear things a number of times before it really sinks in. You know, everyone's busy. We all live very busy lives. We have information coming at us at a million bits a second. People generally will need to see something 2, 3, 4, 7 times before it really starts to sink in. So the more opportunities you have to engage with them, the better. The other thing is we all have different learning styles. So some people like to read. Some people like to listen to things. Some people like to see it visually laid out for them. Some people prefer video. The more methods, the more kind of formats that you can provide your content in, that you can provide your access to a little bit of your expertise in, the more chance you have of reaching the maximum number of people. There's also something about becoming known for a certain number of things. So one consultant I once spoke to had said, you know, choose which drum you're going to bang and bang it consistently. And by what I mean by that is, what are your kind of core messages? What are the kind of core things that you want to be telling people? And so rather than thinking I have to come up with 300 million of them, think what are the core kind of 5 or 6 things? So for me, the core 5 or 6 things that I tend to talk to people about is, how do we create meaning in our businesses? How do we create sustainable businesses that are sustainable financially, energetically, emotionally? Feminine conditioning, how can we do ethical marketing, you know, how we can reuse content so we don't burn ourselves out, how we can make real human connections in this increasingly digitalized world. You know, they're some of the common things. And so rather than me having to totally reinvent something new every time, which gets exhausting, I know they're the kind of core common things that people come to me about and that I have something to say about. Think about somebody like Brené Brown. Brené Brown did a TED talk that went viral 5 or 6 years ago about the power of vulnerability. And she is a shame researcher. And she is asked to contribute to any number of conversations and publications. She writes for O Magazine. She's been on Oprah Soup Soul Sunday. She's been on Marifolio TV. She's been on numerous things. But it's not like she suddenly starts talking about, oh, I don't know, the importance of doing a certain yoga move. She, whatever subject she's been asked to talk about, whichever context, she does it through the prism of the power of vulnerability and shame and how we can, you know, how we can become more shame resilient in the world. So what are the subjects that are your kind of prism that you talk about everything through? Think about what they are, and that way you don't have to keep coming up with new topics to talk about. Instead, keep going back to, what are those commonly asked questions? What are the common challenges that I help people with? What are the kind of core areas of my expertise? And you will find numerous ways that you can produce content around those things just by shifting the context or changing the format. I'm not talking about repeating them verbatim, although there is a lot to be said for, if you produce something on audio, then also have a transcript of it and maybe do a video of it as well. But I'm thinking more of the subjects that you talk about and the questions that you answer for people. Think about the different flavors of that subject, if you like. Number 9, record an audio of one of your commonly asked questions. Post it on SoundCloud, share it on social media. Going back to my last point, then the more different formats that you can have, the more accessible it's going to be for people. There's also something about accessibility for, say, people who are visually impaired or people who don't have audio available on their computer, or maybe they're consuming your material in a workplace where they're not allowed to listen to things. So then again, the more different formats that you can use, the more accessible it's going to be for people. Number 10. There is a huge power in connection and community. And so this strategy is around finding other practitioners or finding other businesses who offer a complementary or symbiotic service to the one that you offer. So, for example, a web designer and a copywriter go perfectly together. A web designer can refer clients who need help with the language that's going to be put on the website. Copywriter can help with, you know, somebody who's going to build the website. Perfect. A yoga teacher and an aromatherapist, or a body worker and somebody who does another type of body work. So, for example, I know a chiropractor who works a lot with somebody who is like a deep tissue massage therapist, because sometimes the my very layperson's way of explaining it, the person who deals with the bones and the alignment of the bones, there is also sometimes additional support needed with the soft muscle tissue and supportive tissues that support the skeleton. So they can go well together as well. So think about who might be, or what professions or what businesses might be complementary to you. I know a divorce coach who has built some great relationships with divorce lawyers. Now, she doesn't coach people into getting divorced, but she helps them navigate the emotional aspect of it. And so a great place for referrals are divorce lawyers for her. Therapists can be a great source of referrals for life coaches or for massage therapists, because the therapist may be dealing with the heavier end of the emotional stuff that's going on, but there may be some behavioural stuff or there may be some physical stuff that can be really helpful around helping the person to relax and unwind, that, say, maybe a massage therapist could be good at helping them with. So think about what type of businesses could be complementary to yours, and then look in your network, see who you know already, who is doing that service. You'd be amazed at how many people you already know. And then simply arrange to reach out and have a chat with them. And go into it with an emphasis on conversation and how can we create a win-win? How can we have a non-competitive referral relationship? And, you know, you might want to discuss whether you want to give bonus payments or like referral fees, or you might want to just keep it informal. Or, but, you know, everybody is, you know, pretty much looking for ways that they can help grow their business. And so having a good referral relationship with people who are in a complementary service to you can be a win for everyone. Number 11, get super clear on what it is you help people to do and practice saying it. So quite often this is called the elevator pitch, and it's the thing that lots of us dread because it can feel so clunky and so awkward, but it's worthwhile practicing it. And I have a link in the show notes to an article for a method that I use and I teach my clients, which makes it a lot easier and a lot more conversational. But practicing out loud, even in the privacy of your own home or your home office, that how you answer that question, oh, and what do you do, be such a big help. I think a lot of us kind of try and ignore that aspect of telling people what we do because we know it so well that we get to the networking meeting and somebody says, oh, what do you do then? And it all comes out, well, I blah, 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 blah. And it's just gobbledygook that comes out. Or you get the confused look, or you realise that people who don't have your knowledge and your experience don't necessarily have the context or the understanding like you do to really properly understand what you do. So get super clear on what it is that you do and who you help, and then practice saying it out loud. So I help people who are struggling with X to do Y so that they can. Bah, 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 bah. And because this is new to a lot of us, it's not the natural way that we talk, and it can feel a bit self-promotional, it can feel a bit awkward, and it can bring up all of our conditioning around how we shouldn't be blowing our own trumpets and all of that stuff. We really need to get some practice in so that, first of all, we can say it fluently. We can make sure that what we're saying is clear and people understand it. And then we can get over the awkwardness of, oh, it just sounds really strange when I say it. And the only way of getting past that really is to practice it. Practice it standing rooted and feeling confident with a confident body stance. Practice saying the words until they stop feeling strange to you. And then you will be able to really say it with just more ease and naturalness in your voice, so it doesn't feel awkward. Number 12. Find a local meetup or entrepreneurial networking group and attend, but attend with the simple intention of just making some new connections. So one of the big mistakes I think people make with networking meetings, and full disclosure, I say this as an absolute in-type introvert, I am rubbish at small talk. I really feel uncomfortable in those kind of situations. But the way that I have got a ton better at them over the years is I go not with the intention of I must find customers, I must sell my services, but I go with the intention of simply making connections. And not only does that become so much easier for me, it actually is so much more effective. I mean, think about it. Think about the number of times you have been at a networking meeting and you have just been sold at by, you know, people who are working the room, handing out their business cards, just talking about themselves, just trying to get the sale. It feels horrible, doesn't it? But to have, I think, a true connection and a real meaningful business, and to find connections that are going to lead to new customers and lead to referrals and get you great word of mouth, then it's actually about making those human connections. And the only way you can do those human connections is if you go with the intention of finding out about other people and actually building that real human conversation with people. So take all the pressure off yourself about going and finding new customers, and instead go with the intention of finding some interesting people to connect with. And I think when you go in with that kind of an intention, you're really open-hearted, and already you're gonna be so different from most of the people in that room who will either be trying to sell or will be as nervous as you would have been, thinking, oh my God, how do I do this? So you go into it with a human approach, with the simple intention of making some connections, because that is what will grow word of mouth, that is what will grow referrals, and that is what will grow those deep connections that will much more likely lead to potential customers. 13. Visit a local cafe or a coffee shop or really nice deli, you know, that has nice tables and things like that. Very often you'll find that they have community boards, notice boards, tables where people put flyers, business cards and local events. Go and leave some flyers there for your services. See if you can come up with a special offer that, you know, somebody who has that flyer can get a discount or get 2-for-1 or, you know, bring a friend or something like that. And for bonus points, talk to the owner or the manager and offer to run some taster sessions. See if they have space of an evening or during slow periods where you can use the space, and it can be, again, a real symbiotic win-win relationship. You can help to offer something different that may attract more customers for them, and you make some get better connections, you get to raise your profile, you make contact with some people in the local community, potential clients, all good. 14. Reach out to a peer with a complimentary business, and this time, rather than just thinking, oh, how can we be referral partners, think about how you could host a collaborative event or promotion. So maybe you want to look into getting a stall and combining your services at stall at a local mind, body and spirit fair or a local holistic health fair. Or maybe there's an event that you could co-sponsor. Or, you know, there's power in numbers, and there's also something about having fellow travellers, I think, and you can bolster each other on, you can support one another, and you're not competing with one another either. So you can be a great support network for each other. You can be great at enthusing each other and coming up with different ideas, combining your expertise and your reach. So you're combining both audiences. And it can therefore have bigger impact. Plus, it's fun. And then number 15, see what local events are going on. See about donating a prize to a local charity auction or a parent teachers association or a community raffle. I know, for example, the PTA at my daughter's school regularly has a summer and a Christmas fair with a raffle with a draw there, and they have brilliant prizes, all donated for local businesses. And that is great for selling tickets and raising money for a good cause, but guess what? It's also fantastic promotion for those businesses as well. So think about, you know, is there a local round table? Are there charities that you're involved with? Are they having an auction night? Could you offer a raffle prize? Could you offer a giveaway? I know of numerous coaches who have given away, say, a small coaching package, for example, like a 3-session coaching package at a charity auction or an event. And because those people who have won the package have been so impressed with the service, they've then gone on and not only referred people but have become long-term clients themselves. So sometimes giving away just some of your time helps to give you publicity, helps to raise your profile, and can be a great way of giving people that longer taste of your product and see what it can do for them. Okay, that is 15. I did say there was 31, but I'm going to do a part two of this episode because, you know, there's a lot there to be getting on with anyway. And we'll discuss 16 through to 31 of meaningful marketing actions that you can do. But if you can't wait until the next episode, or you would like to have the written version of these, and you get all 31 all in one go, if you go over to meaningfulbizacademy.com, you will be able to enter your email address and download all 31 of them in a really beautiful PDF document, so you can keep them for your reference, you can tick them off, you can make notes, you can scroll all over it, you can come up with new ideas to add onto there. So go over to meaningfulbiz.com and you will see a sign up page there, and you'll be able to get all 31 of them in your warm little hands straight away. Thank you so much for listening. I will speak to you soon. Thanks for listening to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey. If you want to know more about how you can grow your meaningful business, then head over to meaningfulbizacademy.com. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com. Here you'll find all of the details of the academy, including masterclasses, courses, co-working opportunities, member discounts, how you can get free coaching, exclusive meditations to help build your confidence and bust through those mindset blocks, and a whole lot more. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com, and I'll speak to you soon.